this is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. There's a lot of activity surrounding the future of the Affordable Care Act these days. Congress has been considering different plans to repeal and replace the law. And President Trump has just eliminated subsidies paid to the insurance companies that they use to reduce out-of-pocket caps for a group of low- and moderate-income people. In many states, premiums are being raised to offset this loss of federal money, but the head of Vermont's Green Mountain Care Board, Kevin Mullen, says he wants to wait to see how this issue plays out in Congress before considering any rate increases in Vermont.
The rates are set, and nothing will happen immediately. The insurers could come back after they've done some thorough analysis and try to make a case, but it's too premature to even consider anything happening with the rates. And more than likely, most of the impacts on rates will be for the following year. I think that we have enough time to figure this out, but if something isn't figured out, next year's rates are not going to look pretty.
Vermont Health Connect has a new open enrollment period that begins next Wednesday. Is the state's healthcare exchange ready for a bunch of new customers? Today in Vermont Edition, we're going to look at a variety of issues involving the present and future of Vermont Health Connect. And our first guest is Sean Sheehan, who is the Deputy Director for Health Access Eligibility and Enrollment at the Department of Vermont Health Access. Sean, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks, Bob. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. A little later in the program, we're also going to hear from Mike Fisher, who is the state's healthcare advocate. Sean, before we talk about the new open enrollment period and the policies that are available, give us an update on the operational status of Vermont Health Connect. When the program was launched more than 4 years ago, there were some very serious problems. How's your sense of how things are running now?
Great. Thanks, Bob. I'm certainly happy to talk about that. And I think it's important to distinguish when we talk about how things are going, to split apart the system, computer systems and everything that run, and then how we're working operationally and the experience that the members and potential customers are going to have. First and foremost, looking at the experience, we've heard those stories in the past. I'm sure many callers will have experienced them too in past years, where there were long waits to get on the phone, requested changes took a long time to make, issues between getting cases and communication between Vermont Health Connect and the carriers and the payment systems. I'm happy to report that operationally we're in better shape than we ever have been. If people are listening at home or in front of their computer and want to go to our website, we actually put out operational key performance indicators every month. If you go to vermonthealthconnect.gov and click on the upper row there, latest updates, you'll see October 2017 key performance indicators. And I invite people to look at that. And if you go down each of those items, you'll see that they're everyone that has a comparable metric, 20 from the year over year is better than it was a year ago.
And what are some of those indicators? Tell us about what you're looking for.
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things, and again, I think they won't be, won't be a surprise, because we looked at them last year and really tried to set targets for continual improvement and tried to set targets for areas that had been pain points in the past. So number one goal is to try to promptly answer members' calls. The primary metric we have, which is our service level agreement target, to answer 75% of calls in a month within 24 seconds. That's at the first level call, and we hit that last month. And then we have secondary metrics under that too. Many times in the past, people it wasn't necessarily the first call in, but if they had to have the call escalated or they had an additional question about eligibility and had to be transferred to the tier two, they might have to wait a long time there. And so our target there is to answer 75% of calls in less than 5 minutes. As of 6 months ago, we had never done that in our history. There were long waits, a lot of people that had to be transferred when there were more problems. That last month we answered 93% of calls within that 5 minute target, and actually last week we're shaping up to be even better for October. Last week we had 99.7%. So we had 369 calls. So it was only one out of those 369 that wasn't answered in the 5 minute target for those escalated calls. So that's really coming far in that regard. A second goal is to process members' requests timely. I'm sure you know of that. I know the press used to call a lot, the legislature call a lot. Those were the stories, right, in 2014 and 2015 of how many change requests were in our backlog. The system couldn't handle it. And we set the goal last year of completing at least 75% of requests within 10 days by last October, and getting to 85% by this past June. We passed that goal, have been up in the high 90s, 96% of requests resolved in 10 days last month in September. And also make the goal of, with those change requests, that any request that comes in by the 15th of the month, by rule, requests that come in by the 15th of the month take effect the next month, so it should be on the next month's invoice. And we last month had 98.2% completed within that came in by the 15th of September. We're on the October bill. I just actually looked at the numbers for October. We've already had 97% of those that came in by October 15th have already been completed. We still have another week ahead of the November bill. A third area is to transmit data files timely and accurately. This is one that we talked a lot about, it being a complex system and a patchwork system that have been pulled together, and I think a lot of questions there long term. But the important thing is that information that comes into our system, and when people call in and add a member of their household to coverage or request a change of their income that will change their bill and the financial help they receive to pay their bill, that members should count on that information being communicated seamlessly to the insurance carriers, to our processing bill processing partner. And that was something that wasn't in the case in the past as well. And that's something that really we want. The key metric we look there is that the errors, we send a file over to the carriers, and then Blue Cross, MVP, Delta Dental send back a confirmation. And sometimes if they don't, they can send back an error. And if there's an error, we want to resolve it quickly, because if it's resolved quickly, it's probably not going to have customer impact. If it isn't resolved quickly, that could be an issue where a member goes to the pharmacy or goes to the doctor and encounters a problem. So we really wanted to keep those. Last year, we set the target of keeping the number of errors that were more than 10 days old to less than half of 1% of all the cases in our system between Vermont Health Connect and the insurance carriers. Last September, there were 163 errors that were over 10 days old. This past September, there was one single error that was over 10 days old. Going down from there, also looking at reconciliation, the process of looking with our carrier partners and the billing partners to make sure, to see where there's discrepancies, making sure those discrepancies are worked within 30 days so they don't linger, and the problems that can impact customers and financial reconciliation from there. Set the goal of working at least 90% of the discrepancies within 30 days. We've actually been at 100% the last several months. And the fifth key performance indicator is facilitating the use of self-service functionality. Right, that was supposed to be part of the big promise initially, that people could go on and could feel comfortable using the website to apply for coverage or to report a change. And weren't able to do that for years, really. We're able to apply for coverage, but any of the self-service changes has only been since a year ago, August 2016, when that was turned on. And in that area, the self-service change, we have a lot of room to grow. We only had 3% of changes coming in that way a year ago. We set a goal of at least 10% growth per year. We hit 4.2% last month, so we exceeded that 10% growth, but still obviously the vast majority of requests are coming in by phone. So I think we have some work to do to help members feel comfortable doing that.
Next Wednesday on November 1st, and we do have a link to Vermont Health Connect on today's show page at vpr.net if anybody is interested in that. Let's start off by talking to Brad, who's calling from Stowe. Hey, Brad, welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, which is, I'm a sole proprietor, and I'd like to know why sole proprietors and small businesses are not allowed either to combine with other groups or co-ops to try and negotiate a lower price and or shop for health insurance across state lines. I understand part of the answer may be to help subsidize other potential customers or users, but the pricing is killing me, and I'm putting four kids through college, and quite frankly, I need some relief.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, and certainly, Ophelia, I think the cost of healthcare and the cost of health insurance, cost of health insurance, obviously following the increasing cost of healthcare, is a big issue across the country and in Vermont, and what it costs for people. I think with the Affordable Care Act, with the exchanges providing the financial help to people with qualifying incomes, has helped in that regard, and it hasn't addressed the issue of cost for people that are paying full cost, as you say, with the sole proprietors who are above the 400% of the federal poverty level income limit, the $98,400 for a family of four, not getting financial help and having to bear the brunt of those increases each year is a big issue. As to the policies around it, I can't speak to those, and Department of Vermont Health Access can't speak to that. We oversee the eligibility and enrollment in Medicaid programs and in the exchange. It's really the DFR, the Department of Financial Regulation, and the Green Mountain Care Board that oversee a lot of the efforts to try to get cost containment, to push health reforms that are shifting how healthcare is paid for, and get those items under control. But it's not my bailiwick.
So as we mentioned, there's an open enrollment period starting next Wednesday. What do you want folks to know about this open enrollment period?
Great. Yeah, thanks, Bob. The big thing, the number one thing for people to know is that this year's open enrollment period is shorter than in past years. In past years, it ran into the new year. So if people missed it or forgot about it over the holidays, they could sign up in January. This year, the federal government was moving it to shorter to move it more aligned with the with Medicare open enrollment, more in line with being able to have people start their coverage at the beginning of the year. So open enrollment, as you mentioned before, starts next Wednesday, November 1st. It ends on December 15th. So we have that month and a half. It's going to end on December 15th. For most people, if they don't sign up for coverage by December 15th, may not have another chance to sign up again until 2019. So we really want to get that message out for people not to wait, get caught up in Thanksgiving, and from there, come online now. We have the information at vermonthealthconnect.gov. All the plans are up there. The plan comparison tool is up there too. I think to the last caller, we'll mention that as well. If you go to the plan comparison tool, it's a useful tool, even if you work for a small business or even if you're a sole proprietor or an individual who doesn't get subsidies. Still useful to see what the plan options are, and based on your household's income, even if you're above income, based on your household's members' ages, what your health status is, if you expect operations, things like that, it'll give you a projection and compare with the 24 different plans that are available from Blue Cross and Blue Shield and MVP. What it would cost them for their premium each month, and what it would cost for your likely out-of-pocket expenses when you go to the doctor and need to have services. It's kind of based on that average typical person or people of your household's ages and health statuses. And then there's a second column there of not necessarily the worst-case scenario, but it'll say like the worst 6%, so kind of maybe the worst year out of 15 or 20 years, if something really bad happens, how much would you have to be paying in total costs out of pocket and premium with each of those 24 plans. You can sort if you really like Blue Cross by only looking at Blue Cross, or if you really like MVP just by looking at MVP, and you'll see all the plans broken out in different ways there. So I highly encourage people to go to vermonthealthconnect.gov, click on Decision Tools, and look from there.
Let's talk to David, who's calling from Waterville. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I wanted to bring up, we had an issue. My wife had to sign up in 2016 for coverage because her employer didn't offer it at the time. And we went through the whole process. They gave them all our particulars, financial information and everything. They plug us into the little algorithm and say that we're good to go for a certain amount, you know, X amount of dollars for subsidies to lower that monthly premium. Sounds great. We accept that. When we filed our 2016 taxes, we ended up having to pay $1,000 back on that, over $1,000 actually. They were completely wrong. I don't know what basic math they messed up or what happened, but that really, really hurt us. I mean, we're at the time, we just had a baby. We're now just to a single income in 2017. And, you know, to just pull $1,000 out of that was really quite a big hit. I mean, I had to look at my wife, who was in tears when I told her the news. So I'd like to ask, what moving forward, what kind of training they've given the employees, if there's going to be more consistency or what, because every time we dealt with them, the only thing they were efficient at was raising our blood pressure and hypertension. And I guess that creates customers, but my goodness, I really would like to see what the positive changes are. Thanks for having the show about it.
Okay, thank you, David.
Yeah, thanks for calling, David. And again, you know, sorry to hear the story there. I think without looking at the details of the cases, it's hard to see what happened. I know in those cases, whether it was a system issue, whether it was the way the income was reported. I think for one piece, it's important to note when you apply for coverage on the subsidies with the qualified health plans, they're based off of your projection for the year ahead. It's called modified adjusted gross income, which is similar to the adjusted gross income that's on people's taxes. It's for the year, and if your income changes, you have to report it within 30 days so those subsidies can be adjusted. Similarly, on the Medicaid side, you have to report changes, any change in households or income, within 10 days. And so things like having a baby would change what subsidies you're eligible for. Certainly any change in income or changes in jobs will have that. And because the subsidies you're given, I think as David alluded to, are a projection for the year based on your projected income. What you actually pay is trued up at the end of the year when you file your taxes, as David mentioned. And if you ended up earning more money than you projected, you would have to, and you didn't report that change and continued receiving those higher subsidies each month, you would likely have to pay back money in the form of higher taxes. If you earned less money and didn't report it, you would likely get a larger tax refund, almost similar to when you, the deductions you put on your paycheck, how that part gets trued up. I think to David's question about training, we have a training team with our customer support centers that have that work closely on that and quality assurance, checking in on the work that they do. When we hear of errors, when we hear of reports, certainly I know as you mentioned, Mike Fisher will be in before, certainly from Vermont Legal Aid, when the healthcare advocate points out issues or whenever we find problems, we go back, listen to calls, find out if there's a training moment there, work on training customers, certainly with all the, I mean, not training customers, training the customer support representatives. So that's something that I will say that I think we have a phenomenal staff that's really dedicated to Vermonters. Did a lot of hard work over a few years with a system that was, as I mentioned before, really differentiating between that system part and the operational part, having a system that was kind of being built in patchwork pieces, staff having to learn to use that as that was being built. There's been some relative stability there the last year. I think in the ongoing looking to the future, there's big question marks in that area because of the way it was built, patchwork, and what the long-term solution and requirements are. So I think, again, that's a question for a different topic, a question for a different guest. But at least in the short term, I can say that the customer support staff has had the benefit of having relative stability in the system, which has allowed the training teams to really work with them and continue to improve in that area as well.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today in the program, we're looking at Vermont Health Connect, the state's healthcare exchange. New enrollment period for coverage begins next Wednesday, November 1st, and continues for 6 weeks. With us today, Sean Sheehan, who is Deputy Director of Health Access Eligibility and Development at the Vermont Department of Health Access. And joining us now is Mike Fisher, who is the state's healthcare advocate. Mike, great to have you on the program.
Hello, Bob. Good to be here.
So before we discuss Vermont Health Connect, could you just briefly tell us the responsibilities of your office? Why does Vermont have a healthcare advocate?
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. Thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about the work we engage in. A primary role that we play in supporting Vermonters is helping Vermonters who have problems with access to care, who maybe are frustrated because they don't understand an insurance bill that they've received or don't understand some complexity around Vermont Health Connect. Or some other access to care issue. This is complicated stuff, and many Vermonters, don't know the details of sort of the complicated terms that easily come up in a conversation like this about, what does plan design mean, and how much potential out-of-pocket costs are they likely to receive, depending on, the year ahead. The prediction of the year ahead and what kind of health issues are going to come up for them.
And Mike, what do you want folks to know about this open enrollment period?
I think the primary takeaway that I really want to say just as clearly as possible is that this is your opportunity. For the next 6 weeks, starting on Wednesday, is the open enrollment period where Vermonters can sign up if they're not insured, or make changes to their plans if they're not altogether happy with their current plans. Now, it's also important to say for those Vermonters who are eligible for Medicaid, they're able to make changes or sign up at any time during the year. But for that large group of Vermonters who are above Medicaid limits, this is your opportunity. And while we can talk about the challenges at Vermont Health Connect and the new successes, this is the opportunity. As frustrating as it might be for some Vermonters, this is the time to really engage in this and take a good look at your health coverage.
I wanted to ask both of you, starting with Sean. The Trump administration has announced cuts to the outreach and education programs for the Affordable Care Act. So, what does that mean for the state of Vermont? Do you have less money to have outreach to individuals who might be interested in these policies?
Well, I think for Vermont and most of the federal cuts really hit the states that are on the federal exchange. I think the impact that they're having on healthcare.gov, I think taking that down for Sundays, a lot of the in-person assistance that was run by the federal government. So with Vermont choosing to go as a state-based exchange, a lot more of that is more in our control. We are fortunate to have a great set of partners across the state who really have worked to bring down Vermont's uninsured rate. The most recent numbers, that was 2.7% in 2015, I think thanks to the work of community organizations, folks like Mike and his team at the Healthcare Advocate Clinics, Navigator organizations, the Sisters, who have really got the word out. So we're fortunate to be in a place where really last year we didn't even have all that many new people, fewer than 1,000 new people come into the system during open enrollment. We had a lot come in throughout the year when they changed jobs and various reasons. So really, we're looking at continuing to get the word out. We have that in-person help with certified application counselors, over 180 of them located throughout the state. People can find that in-person help on our website, looking by county. We're doing a lot of direct outreach because we have people who might have lost a job or changed a job and took more than 60 days this year to apply. So we're going to be sending postcards and calls directly to them if they applied and were denied a special enrollment period. And really, I think with the uninsured rate as low as it is in Vermont, it's going to be that targeted outreach that we need. And really, I'd ask all of the listeners as well, if you have family members, friends, neighbors who resisted getting health insurance or don't think they need it or don't think it's worth it, to really look at when you look at some of these costs. And I think the stories you've done here on VPR of new cancer drugs, costing over $100,000 per year on average, I think as other callers have alluded to, the cost of health care can be really scary. So taking that time and recognizing that the coming online and looking at their options are big. The last thing I would just say for it is that the federal penalty for not having health insurance is $695 per uninsured person or 2.5% of a household's income. When you look at from studies of the average income of uninsured Vermonters, the typical uninsured Vermonter could buy a health plan for less than it would cost them to pay that federal penalty, and then they'd have the peace of mind and improved health of the insurance on top of that.
Mike, what do you think the impact is going to be of not having as much outreach?
Bob, I think I'd like to answer the question just a little bit broader. I think there is a persistent message in the national media and in the state media about activities in D.C. that for many people boils down to a message of the supports are no longer there or that calls into question whether there continues to be financial supports to help people pay for their premiums and their out-of-pocket costs. So I think it's vitally important that we just clear that up as straightforward a fashion as we can. If a Vermonter or anybody in the country is eligible to receive supports to help them pay for their out-of-pocket costs, those supports are still available, despite the news story that in the last couple of weeks about actions, by the Trump administration and many messages that alluded to a concept that those supports weren't there.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because we actually got some information from the legislature's Joint Fiscal Office. Joyce Manchester, a senior economist at the JFO, told us that consumers will definitely continue to receive the benefits even if Congress does not restore them.
The insurance company loses the subsidy payment from the federal government, yes, but it's in federal law, it's in the Affordable Care Act, that insurance company still has to provide the enhanced benefits so that the individual doesn't pay any more for the Silver Plan.
Let's talk to Andy in Williston. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about, I'm going to try to make this a constructive question and not just a gripe, okay? So I have, our household income is above the 400% threshold, and I was just doing the math for next year, and we opt for the bronze plan for a couple reasons. And so if this bronze plan for our family of four is going to cost $14,400 for this bronze plan, which some of you might know doesn't provide a whole lot of insurance, frankly, because of the high deductible. So it's almost a catastrophic plan, you could call it that. So for somebody, I'm not that far above 400% of the poverty level. So this is a significant chunk of the money that we have in our household. So again, in an effort to try to be constructive, even though I think that number is even if you just compare it to pre-ACA rates, I mean, it's almost double of what I was paying just 5 years ago. So, again, trying to be constructive, what are ways that we can drive down premiums? I mean, because you talk about – for this, I would like you to set aside the financial sort of aids that might be out there for some people because the underlying rates are just so high. So how can we bring those underlying rates down? That's the question.
Andy, could you tell us for your bronze policy, what's the out-of-pocket cap on that?
That's a good question. I'm sure your guests would know the answer to that, but I can tell you for sure my quote-unquote exposure is more than $20,000.
Okay.
When you combine the premiums and the deductibles, I want to say it's like $5,000 per person, deductible $10,000 with maybe an out-of-pocket max of $13,000, give or take $1,000. Your guests would know the answer to that.
Okay, Andy, I really appreciate your phone call. Sean, if you look at the number of people who buy their policies at Vermont Health Connect using your department's information, roughly 25% of the people are paying full freight just like Andy. So they've got incomes above 400% of the federal poverty level. And these policies, as Andy just told us, for a bronze policy, which will have the highest deductible and the out-of-pocket cap, $14,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think Andy's right on for that. I think just to clarify on your point, I think the people who buy as individuals through Vermont Health Connect, through the exchange, over 80%, about 83% get the financial help or below the 400%. But when you look at the whole individual market, which includes people buying direct from the insurance carriers, because as of last year, people who know they're not going to receive subsidies and want to call Blue Cross or call MVP directly and deal with billing directly with Blue Cross or MVP, they can do that. Then looking at that whole part together, like you said, it is about a quarter of the population. And when you look at the people who really aren't wealthy, as it sounds, as Andy says in his story, is not making a lot. When you're at just over 400%, if you're a family of two, you could be making just in the high 60s, and you'd be over 400%. And that's really that's the population that's really being squeezed, because the population below 400% gets a lot of financial help, but they have that cap on what they can pay. And as Joyce Manchester mentioned in the clip you just played, they're going to still get those enhanced silver plans. They can come on and get those cost sharing reductions with the lower out of pocket costs with the enhanced silver plans that we have on VermontHealthConnect.gov. But for folks who are over 400%, they are exposed and they are being pinched. And I know there's been some talk in Congress and in legislatures about looking at capping exposure to people who are more in that middle upper income, but certainly not super wealthy. But again, that's a question I think for other guests. So I certainly interested to hear what Mike would have to say too, though.
Mike, did you have some thoughts about those folks who are above 400% of the poverty level and really have to pay full freight here?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been putting a lot of energy into thinking about and trying to quantify affordability in the healthcare marketplace. And Andy and his family are at the perfect, or maybe the opposite of perfect, the worst spot. Those folks who are just above the eligibility limits are particularly squeezed in this marketplace. We argue that point and argue it as strong as we can before the Green Mountain Care Board when they are accepting our insurance carrier rates. And I think it's just it's really important for us to recognize that when a family is squeezed in this way, it leads to choices or forced choices in access to care. That means people don't get the care they need. We talk a lot. Andy's ultimate question is, what are we going to do to bring down the cost? And, the answer that is being explored is new ways to, organize the payments for how we pay providers in such a way to incent them to not spend as much on health care. The experience that Andy's family and other Vermonter families are having is directly counter to those efforts, because if people can't afford to get the care they need, They don't magically get better, Bob. They, you know, their needs often get worse, and it has impacts on the rest of their lives. So I just really want to sort of echo the desperation I hear behind Andy's comments, and recognize that there's a lot of other Vermonters out there listening who have similar experiences.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Nathan, who's calling from Montpelier. Hi, Nathan. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for having this show. I just, not to pile on, but I did want to offer a little bit of pushback. I heard Mr. Sheehan talking about performance indicators and metrics improving in the last year, and I just wanted to say for the last 4 years, I have had nothing but problems with Vermont Health Connect in general, everything from enrollment, payments going through, online access. Actually had my insurance canceled because payments weren't going through. I was told billing system was not talking with the rest of the other computer systems. I've spent hours and hours on the phone, hours of my life gone by. And I just wanted to encourage you to look at the definition of what a successful resolution of a problem is. You know, a lot of times I'm on the phone with someone trying to help me, and they're very excellent people, and they're doing their best, but they seem to be sort of at a loss for what is actually going on. Often, finally, just being very frustrated themselves, telling me to seek help from the legal aid healthcare advocates, which to me just seems bizarre. You know, I'm speaking to the people who should be able to fix my problem, and they're referring me out of house to seek legal aid help. So that's my comment, and I just wanted to put it out there. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
Bob, can I jump in here?
Absolutely.
So I was thinking about this earlier when Sean was talking about the successes, and I would echo some of those successes. I would agree Vermont Health Connect is getting better. It is doing many of the functions much more smoothly and resolving problems much more smoothly. And I know when those kinds of statements are made that there's a set of Vermonters out there that want to throw their radio out the window. Or scream, swear words at the radio because their experience is so different. You know, there's a set of Vermonters who, much like what Nathan described, who have been caught in sort of repetitive problems that come back, year after year, and so you know, for those Vermonters, while it's a smaller set, and while I want to recognize that the Vermont Health Connect staff and contractors are working are good people who are working hard to do the best they can, but that for many of them they really do need additional supports, and so it's always the right thing to do to call Vermont Health Connect first to try and resolve your problem. But if you find yourself in a challenge where it's just not getting better, and you find yourself having to take off time from work to make phone calls or things like that, or if you're concerned that I think it was David earlier who mentioned an estimation of his income, if you're worried that your income wasn't estimated correctly, I really encourage people to call my office. The Healthcare Advocates Office has a staff of advocates who help Vermonters every day with issues like this.
And we'll also make sure, Mike, that your phone number, your office's phone number is at our website as well. Sean, I want to go back to something you said. You talked about the importance of this enrollment period starting November 1st and running until the middle of December. And you said, if you don't sign up in that period, you may have to wait for another year. Are there circumstances under which people are allowed to sign up during the course of the year? Maybe I was employed and I lost my job. Are there some circumstances?
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. There are, and it's important to remember that for Vermont Health Connect, the application that people fill out for health coverage, it's for both Medicaid and for it determines at once whether you're qualify for Medicaid or whether you qualify for qualified health plans and financial help to pay for them. And so if you don't have coverage at any time of year, even if you need it right now, maybe you lost your job in the last month, you don't have to wait till November 1st. I mean, you would be able to apply after December 15th if you qualify for Medicaid. You can enroll in Medicaid any time of year. And for people, if you changed jobs and used to have coverage and lost your coverage, or if you got married, there's a whole list of several pages of they're called qualifying events that qualify you for a special enrollment period. That's generally 60 days from the point of time of that event that you have to enroll in coverage. Those qualifying events are up on our website at vermonthealthconnect.gov. If you go to Help Center, you'll see the qualifying events list there. And so certainly those are the circumstances, and I think I mentioned earlier that people do come in throughout the year, because that's most of the incoming volume we have for people in Vermont. So certainly, thanks for raising that. But I said for most people, because you don't always envision your qualifying event. And so if you know you need coverage for next year, we encourage you to do it as soon as possible, and definitely before December 15th.
You know, Mike, you mentioned how complicated this can be. There are bronze plans, silver, gold, platinum, deductibles, out-of-pocket expenses. Mike, do you have folks calling you asking for some assistance to sort all this out?
Absolutely. We have people calling us every day who are just trying to understand the lay of the land, trying to understand how their particular family dynamics, impact the decisions they should make. And while we don't advise people which plans to make, we try and give people the best information we can about their options and ask them to consider important things such as, what the family expects in terms of health care expenses in the next year. And then ultimately to really make sure that we at Vermont Health Connect is estimating their income correctly so that they can get all the supports that are available to them.
Sean, we're almost out of time, but will you expect that the number of people enrolled during this new period will increase over last year?
I think with the uninsured rate we are in the state, we hope to increase a bit to continue to work down the number of uninsured, but expect it to be somewhat stable. And really what I hope for this open enrollment period is for people to look at the plan comparison tool. We have a webinar on November 9th if people want to learn more, and really make sure that the plan they're in, whether they get subsidies or not, is going to be the best plan for their family's needs and budget.
Today in the program, we've been discussing Vermont Health Connect. Many thanks to our guest today, Sean Sheehan, who is Deputy Director at the Department of Vermont Health Access, and also Mike Fisher, who is the state's health care advocate. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.